It is good to be back with you here on F1 Explains. Hello, I am Katie Osborne. Next to me, or across the way, or in the Zoom land, is Christian Hugill.
Hello, Katie. We're once again here to answer your questions about F1. You can send them to F1Explains@F1.com.
Christian, I love the topic this week. We're talking about F1 Academy, the all-female racing series, which is back, bigger and better for 2024, starting in Saudi Arabia. Now, we have, Christian, had experiences with F1 Academy already way back when in Austin last year in 2023. We've also had questions about it from Bridget and Erica Helgen. They actually turned up to our live show in Austin. Remember that? That was so much fun. They had a huge banner. It said, "We love F1 Academy." And with its kind of debut out in public for everybody to see, it was so great to see the fan base turn up, including Bridget and Erica.
Yeah, it was so lovely to meet them. And we've also had questions on this from Kurt, Emily in Nashville, and...
Hi, my name is Sam, and I'm living in Seattle, Washington. My question is about why we don't yet see more women in F1. I know there's more effort to bring women into F1 with changes like F1 Academy, but I was wondering what you two think are the main reasons why more women aren't driving. Thanks.
Sam, it's such a good question. Our two guests are the best people to help answer it and to explain how F1 Academy is hopefully going to change things. Katie, who have we got on the show this week?
Well, Christian, we have a woman who has been a trailblazer in motorsport as a whole, Susie Wolf, F1 Academy Managing Director, the woman driving everything forward. And we'll also be speaking to F1 Academy driver Leah Block, new girl on the block. So excited to see her out and about. She's won races and a championship in off-road racing. Now, this is going to be her first year in open wheel, which is extremely exciting to kind of see how she moves, grows, and changes. And this is a great opportunity for her.
Yeah, and I want to pick up on Sam's question a little bit before we even start, Katie, because you'll hear Susie and Leah say the word opportunity a lot. And for any young driver in motorsport, it's a lot about opportunity. And I think we should be honest. You know, Katie, I, as we've discussed on this podcast many times, raced karts, the sort of grassroots level of motorsport when I was young. Historically, men have been able to take more opportunities in motorsport because they've been encouraged to. You know, they've been encouraged to be drivers, mechanics, engineers from a young age. And that's why we've seen historically motorsport sort of having a reputation for being for men. And one thing F1 Academy is designed to do is change that. And we've seen real progress in motorsport, certainly in the 15 years since I raced. You know, the number of people who were female in karting, for example, in that time since I stopped racing is so much more, which is fantastic. And F1 Academy is designed to inspire young women to try karting, to study engineering, to pursue those careers. And we're hoping for that snowball effect in time, I guess. The more women who are involved and see that it's possible, the more women who hopefully, you know, will be inspired to go into motorsport.
And Christian, that doesn't take away from the women that we already have in F1. We've spoken to so many on this podcast already. Pit Stop performance expert Gemma Fisher, race strategist Bernie Collins and Ruth Buscombe, Georgia Terabassi from DHL Logistics, McLaren aerodynamicist Emil Chenkaya. Now, we've also spoken to Sebastian Vettel's former trainer, who has said there's absolutely no reason why a woman can't be strong enough, physically fit enough to compete in F1.
And actually, that is a bit of a myth you hear across motorsport, that the reason women aren't racing in Formula One is because of physicality. You know, that's not the case. And it's important to be quite clear about that. There are many people up and down the paddock in F1 who say there is no reason that a woman wouldn't be able to compete with a man on track from a physical perspective in Formula One.
I love we are busting that myth. That is so great.
We're myth busting, my friends. And F1 Academy is trying to inspire young women to follow the path to getting into F1. So first up, let's run through a few things you need to know. This is the second F1 Academy season. Last year's series was won by Marta Garcia. The racing was fantastic. It was competitive. Now, there are five F1 Academy teams. They're all prestigious teams who also compete in Formula 2 and other categories. Each team has three drivers.
Yeah, that's right. And some of those drivers are being supported by an F1 team. They'll have F1 team liveries on their cars, and they'll also wear those F1 race suits. Christian, can you imagine, by the way, side note, walking out the first time in your F1 race suit and what that must feel like for these women, knowing that they are moving in the needle, they are changing the game? That has
it's massive, isn't it? That it's absolutely
built
awesome.
So much confidence.
There'll be additional wildcard entries, so opportunities for talented drivers from the regions that F1 Academy is going to be racing in. In Saudi Arabia, round one, the wildcard is Rima Jufali. She's already made history as the first female Saudi racing driver, and thanks to F1 Academy, she'll be the first to race as part of an F1 weekend.
That's right. And Christian, F1 Academy is racing alongside F1 at seven race weekends this year, starting in Saudi Arabia, like you've mentioned, then moving on to Miami, Spain, Zandvoort, Singapore, Qatar, and finishing in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, there'll be two races each weekend. So that's 14 in total for the season. And the champion will progress to another racing series, just like last year's champion, Marta Garcia, who's now racing in Formula Regional. It's the next step as she climbs the motorsport ladder. And important to say, Katie, that's a big target for F1 Academy, to try and get women not just staying in F1 Academy, but moving through the motorsport ladder into other series, climbing the ranks.
Yeah, I think it's a good explanation too, Christian, to understand, like you're saying, where they go next. It's not just F1 Academy into F1. There is this whole ladder system and women are moving into it. That is so great. Well, that's the basics. Now it's time to head into talking with Susie Wolf. A bit of history here. She is still the last woman to take part in the official F1 sessions. Now, she didn't race, but she did do several practice sessions for Williams in 2014. Now she's the managing director of F1 Academy. Susie Wolf joining us here on F1 Explains. What a joy to have you on the mic with Christian and I. Thank you for being part of the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me, guys.
You are a trailblazer, simply put. You are somebody who is a difference maker, a trailblazer, a mover and a shaker, and of course, with your credentials both in the car and outside of a car. It is neat to have you kind of in the chair, having a conversation today really all about F1 Academy. And I think diving in really quickly into the purpose of F1 Academy, what is it? Why is it so important?
Well, thank you for such nice words describing me. I don't feel like a trailblazer. I feel like someone who was just incredibly lucky to find their passion in life and has followed their passion. And obviously, being one of the very few females in motorsport became such a big topic throughout my career. But I basically do what I love. And that's why for me, I don't see myself as a trailblazer. But it's interesting how you word it, Katie, because someone came up to me in the Austin paddock and they said, you know, Formula One Academy, what you're doing, why do you care? And I thought, that's such an interesting approach to have. Why do I care? Because I know how tough this sport can be. I know how tough it can be to navigate your way to the very pinnacle of the sport. And let's be honest, sport is brutal. There's only ever one winner. You need to learn to be able to cope with failure. But it's also a very male-dominated environment. And I felt in this role, building up F1 Academy, I was able to pass a baton on, make sure that the next generation get to learn from all the mistakes that I made so they didn't make the same mistakes, that I could use my network for creating opportunity and make a difference, be impactful. Because I think for the first time ever, and bearing in mind I'm showing my age here, I've been in this sport over 30 years, 25 as a driver and 5 on the business side, we have a moment in time where there's real appetite to drive change. Women's sport is having a moment. It's really gaining momentum. I think diversity, it's not enough just to talk about it anymore. People want to see action. And Formula One Academy is here to drive both of those changes. It's a commitment from the very top of the sport. It has a very solid foundation, all the investment it needs. And I certainly feel very honored to drive it forwards, that we can create something that will be impactful long term. And when I say impactful, that just means create opportunity that we see more women entering the sport. For me, it's just as important off track as on track. We don't exist just to find the next female Formula One driver, but it's a numbers game in the end. The more we have entering the sport, the more chance we have of the best rising to the top on and off track.
It's something that will resonate with me and Katie, I think, in different ways. I mean, I grew up in the 90s and passionately fell in love with F1. And watching it on the TV, I saw mostly men. Unfortunately, that's getting less and less. You know, we know of how many inspirational women there are in the F1 paddock. I grew up and saw the people presenting sport as mostly straight people, and I'm gay. So I've always tried to be visible in that sense, because I genuinely believed you couldn't be a gay sports broadcaster because I didn't see them. How important do you think it's going to be for those people growing up, falling in love with motorsport like I did 20, 30 years ago, to quite simply see women racing in the same world as Formula One, in the same paddock as Formula One, you know, in the same race schedule as Formula One? Just people growing up and seeing women racing and realising, yeah, that is for me.
You know, we have a very simple saying in Formula One Academy that I think captures it. If you can see it, you can believe it. Quite often in life, you just need to see it. And, you know, F1 Academy will have its own paddock at 7 Formula One races. The paddock will be in the F1 fan zone area. We want to be accessible. We want to be seen. We want to inspire. This is about not just those young girls and boys coming to the track and seeing that 19-year-old girl zipping up a Ferrari race suit and jumping in a mini Ferrari car. We also want to show the parents that this is a sport that gives opportunity, whether that's behind the wheel or in the other areas of the ecosystem. There is opportunity, and quite often for me, it's breaking down that misconception that the sport has around it.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I saw when you, following you on socials, you had mentioned at one point with even the Pirelli purple hats, it was to be bold, right? And the series as a whole is kind of embodying being bold. And that to me is a catalyst. That is a catalyst for change. And I commend you guys for moving forward. Taking a look back there at 2023, I mean, Christian and I had the opportunity to hear the love and the fandom for F1 Academy already at Austin. We had some people at our live show that their favorite part of the whole weekend was F1 Academy. So mad props to you guys for that. As you take a look back to 2023 and F1 Academy as a whole, how would you rate it? How would you say we did this well, we did that well, we could improve that?
Well, my very simplistic summing up of 2023, we're just getting started. I think we were lucky to have a season which was off the radar. Empty racetracks, empty grandstands, just us racing. And that really gave us the ability to get up and running without a lot of audience. But I very quickly realized if this is going to fly, we need people to see us and we need to create momentum. And that means being with Formula One. So to finally join Formula One in Austin, knowing that from that point onwards, we're only ever racing with Formula One, was the perfect ending to what I think was quite a solid first year. But we can do so much more. We can do so much better. That's why the mantra in Austin was, you know, we've arrived, but we're just getting started.
And Katie's right. It positively surprised me for something that's so new to when we were chatting to people in Austin, quite how many people said, oh, isn't this great? And it's such a brand new thing. You sort of didn't expect it to make an impact so quickly. But it's no wonder. I mean, you know, 9 of the 15 drivers won races. 11 of the 15 scored podiums. The title went down to the last race in Austin. We're all motorsport fans. It got off to a really fantastic start in that sense. They are fantastic statistics. And why do you think in going into season two, why will it be bigger and better? What can we look forward to for the next season?
Well, from my perspective, we are more than just a race series. We are more than just a series that turns up with 15 Formula 4 cars that take to the track. I think what we stand for and the opportunities we're trying to create really embody who we are. There'll be 10 drivers on the grid who are associated with the 10 F1 teams. A lot of them have been taken into their academies, which means they'll be in the best possible environment to nurture their talent. Because let's not forget, they're still very junior on the ladder towards Formula One. And we want to make sure that we are nurturing the talent so that they go on to progress in the sport. You know, Formula One Academy, it's not the destination. We want to be the rocket fuel for progression in the sport. So that means we want to make sure that we're creating that opportunity that allows the talent to climb on up the ladder. And I think when we joined Formula One, I feel so grateful. I don't have a stadium to fill. I don't have a brand new fan base to build up. It's all
that,
there.
That takes away and must be so liberating, right? Like those are the checks and balances of things. You're like, well, I can wipe my hands of that one. And
yeah, wipe.
That's got to be a good feeling.
Wipe my hands of that one. Believe me, there's a few mountains to climb in other areas. But oh, absolutely, in that sense.
One less mountain then in that
one,
point.
And it's a big one. So one less mountain.
Yeah, that's right.
So from that perspective, I feel incredibly lucky to join F1, to have the F1 teams on board, to have some great partners on board with us who share the vision. You know, what F1 Academy is now compared to what I believe it can be in 3 to 5 years are two very different things. But there's been a lot of appetite for people saying, you know what, we love the mission, we love the vision, we want to be on the journey with you. And that's, I think, I've never felt that in this sport before. Such a momentum for driving positive change.
Talk about the momentum and the people that want to cater to it and those who want to take a deeper dive and believe actually in the mission of F1 Academy. You mentioned the teams and how they're going to be really a part of this F1 teams. 10 drivers, as you mentioned, will kind of be housed under those bigger teams. What is going to come out of the relationship? You know, it is a mentorship to a certain degree, but what else can these young drivers expect to be a part of these bigger F1 teams?
It's a really good question that I don't have a definitive answer for. I think one thing's important, that we keep our feet on the ground and we stay realistic. Not all of our drivers are going to Formula One. Formula One is incredibly tough because it's the pinnacle of the sport and there are only 20 seats. So it's tough to make it there regardless of your gender as a driver. What I do hope is that the opportunity that our drivers have been given, they grab it with both hands and they go on, whether it's to the path onwards to Formula One. I mean, we obviously support our top three, particularly our winner gets a fully funded budget in the next category up. But I want to see our drivers progressing into successful careers in the sport. And if I look back, you know, over 20 years ago, I was given a one-off chance test in a German touring car that went on to change not just the course of my career, but the course of my life. And sometimes in life, you just need a chance. And I hope that our drivers grab this chance with both hands and make sure that they are able to take something out of it that allows them to really progress in this sport.
And we know the aim of F1 Academy, as you've just said, is to rocket fuel people into other areas of motorsport, but also the motorsport ladder. Again, drawing on my own experiences in the sports, I'm sure I bore our listeners to death and Katie with the amount of times I mentioned that I used to be a kart racer.
I like learning about you,
well,
Christian.
Thanks, friend.
I'm sure they do too.
You're a generous human being. I raced karts for 5 years, and in that time, raced against 3 or 4 women in that time, and this is going back 15 years. I'm guessing from your perspective that the long-term aim of F1 Academy is to inspire women to get involved in other areas of motorsport, such as, you know, karting, again, seeing it's visible. And then the more women you get in, all the whole sort of ecosystem, have I made that word up? Is that a word? Ecosystem, thank you.
Ecosystem, yeah, that works.
Of motorsport, yeah. You see more women coming through, and then that gets more women onto the motorsport ladder. And in hopefully, you know, in 5-10 years' time, we're seeing more women in Formula 3, Formula 2, and hopefully eventually leading to Formula 1. Is it a long-term aim we're looking at here as well?
Definitely a long-term play, and I'm not the most patient of people, so that's something that is challenging for me.
That is said like a real race car driver there. That is tapping into your blueprint of your race car driver ways.
But really, of course, for me, we wouldn't be doing our job correctly if we were only focusing on the age group that can race in F1 Academy, because participation has never gone above 5%. So if we don't increase the talent pool, we simply won't get the talent coming through. And someone asked me at the Monaco Grand Prix this year, you know, what keeps you awake at night? What worries you the most? And I said, running out of drivers, because there just aren't enough competing. So we've done a collaboration with Champions of the Future Academy, which is a karting series, engine lottery, chassis lottery, fixed entry fee, so you can't spend your way to success. We will pick out the top three drivers in mini, junior and senior, with the top three in senior getting an F1 Academy test. We want to really show what the pipeline is to be able to make it into F1 Academy, because that accessibility piece, that creating the ladder, I think is something which has lacked before. And we don't believe in segregation. So actually the only area that is segregated is actually F1 Academy, because obviously there's a huge financial barrier that we remove with F1 Academy. We can only do that with so many drivers, because it's a big financial burden. But we really want to make sure that we become a destination for young female talent, and that we're able to take the most talented and send them off to success further up the ladder.
Susie, it's been so fascinating to talk to you. What would you sort of summarise the aim for season 2, you know, the 2024 season of the F1 Academy?
We want to gain more momentum. We want to make sure we're creating more opportunity and that rocket fuel for progression.
Fascinating to chat with Susie Wolfe. Really appreciate her time here on F1 Explained. Katie, I was lucky enough to be in the same room as Susie. You were joining us through a link up from your home in the USA. Susie is one of those people that just has a fascinating aura of power, of responsibility, that I enjoyed speaking to Susie.
You felt that in real life too? That's how she comes across, but that's the kind of vibe, the sense, huh?
Absolutely. Right, still to come in this episode of F1 Explained, our chat with F1 Academy driver Leah Block.
Hey, Lawrence Barreto here. So we've had a first look at the upgraded cars for 2024, and we could very well see a fight on our hands this season. With F1 TV Pro, you can experience every angle live and build your F1 knowledge faster than ever. Stream every race live, ride on board with any driver, and get explainers from me and the team, as well as our exclusive weekend shows. The best part, you can watch how you want, anytime, anywhere, on any device. Get F1 TV Pro for an unmissable 2024 season. Sign up now for your 7-day free trial. F1 TV Pro is only available in select territories and T's and C's apply. So check out the website for more details.
This is F1 Explains, and today we're explaining F1 Academy, which is back in 2024 for its second season. Lots of new things, including some exciting new partnerships this year with Puma, Charlotte Tilbury, which I'm very excited about, and Tommy Hilfiger.
Well, okay, and then I'm excited about the Tommy Hilfiger one. I love a Tommy Hilfiger top, I really do. Hi, Tommy Hilfiger, if you're listening, we'd love you to sponsor the podcast. Now, a few quick things about the cars. F1 Academy is a spec series with every driver using identical cars. That means the driver makes the difference. Now, the cars are smaller and less powerful than F1 cars, but they are still incredible machines. 174 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 3.6 seconds. I struggled to get up in that time, let alone go from 0 to 60. And a top speed of 150 miles per hour.
They also produce lots of downforce, they're open wheel, and they run on slick tires. Now, these are all things that are going to be brand new to our next guest, Leah Block.
But F1 Academy is all about giving talented drivers like her the chance to drive cars like this. Leah's racing with ART Grand Prix, supported by Williams. So we spoke to her at the Williams Racing Factory in the UK.
Well, Leah, we know that you're racing the F1 Academy this season with ART and Williams. And of course, with all of the background that you've had in all different forms of motorsports, why is this particular thing such a big thing for your racing career?
Yeah, I think this is just like a step away from everything I've done in my racing career before, starting in rally and off-road and then rallycross. It's just definitely a new, special, exciting experience for me, and it's definitely going to be a big learning curve coming from off-road and dirt to a circuit, you know.
But you're somebody who enjoys the learning. I mean, the what you have done, even in this like short time of your 17 years, especially let's just button into like this last year or two, like so much that you've learned. This seems like this should just be one more thing on the cake layer, right? One of the cake layers in the big cake?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just all the experience I've had before is definitely going to help me coming into this new series. And I'm just open to learning as much as possible and see wherever we can make it.
And Leah, 10 drivers are being supported by F1 teams this year. It's one of the big changes from F1 Academy from last year to this. Now, you've joined the Williams Driver Academy. I'm aware of something you're going to get out of the relationship because you're going to drive in a Williams-branded car. You're going to have a Williams-branded race suit. You're already wearing, before the season's even started, Williams-branded merch. Other than the cool Williams Racing merch, what else will you get out of, you know, the relationship and being part of this historic, massive name in Formula One?
Yeah, I mean, it's just really cool to even have gone and seen Williams for the first time when I did back in the end of December. Was really, really cool because it's just made me feel part of the family, and it's really cool to be involved and like be around the team and then around the drivers, and it's just like feels like I'm involved in something way bigger.
Of course, we know that in all of your experiences, this is your first year in open wheel racing. What are you really hoping to get out of this experience? I mean, what have you learned so far?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely learned a lot so far. first getting into the F4 car in December and January, having all that testing, learned so much about all the techniques and different driving styles. So going into the season, I've definitely had a lot of preparation, but definitely a lot less than some of the drivers in the field today. So just going to have to give it my all, I guess.
One thing that maybe might help others who are listening better understand why this open wheel is such a big diversion from other forms of motorsport. Of course, for all of us like non-race car drivers, we would sit here and say, oh, well, you're getting in another car, you're behind another wheel. Is there a way that you can kind of briefly explain why this is going to be such an incredibly different experience than, say, the Extreme E or Rallycross Rally cars that you've been in before?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, most of them are on dirt versus a track, you know, a circuit race.
Minor detail.
Yeah, minor detail.
If you're on dirt in F1 Academy, something's gone a bit wrong.
Yeah,
that would be important to remember.
Don't
want
to touch that.
Some free advice from us here at F1
Thanks for that. That's another thing I can
There's another
learn.
Thing. Can tick that off.
Yeah, right.
Write
there.
That down.
Yeah, but I mean, it's very different, especially with working with Aero now in the Formula Academy cars. It's just a whole different dynamic. I can't really explain it. You can just look at the cars from the outside from what I've driven versus now the F1 Academy. But it's very different, and the driving styles are very different. The way you prepare for the races are very different. Just overall, it's just a completely different side of motorsports.
But I guess not all racing drivers would get that opportunity to cross over, you know, to go from something like rally driving that you've done, where the cars are so different, where the racing experience is so different, to now going into what's often called in motor racing single seaters, you know, the sort of single seat tarmac driven cars. I suppose that's another advantage to F1 Academy, I guess, that it's giving motor racing drivers like yourself that opportunity to try that.
Yeah, I mean, I've grown up around rally paddocks and rally cross paddocks. All my opportunities have been in off-road, really. So getting this opportunity, just growing up watching Formula One on the TV, and then now getting this opportunity to dip my toes into the single-seater experience and racing world is really, really cool. And I think I would be very disappointed if I didn't take this opportunity, because I can always go back, you know. But this is a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I'm ready to take the wheel.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And you're paving the way for so many people. If you're switching and you're having these experiences on these courses, how can this elevate your game for F1 Academy? What do you bring to the table for F1 Academy that maybe is so different because of your past experiences?
I mean, yeah, good question. Honestly, I think just the car control coming from dirt. I think when you get a little loose, like, it's definitely helped me in some situations already in testing. So I think it's just a different dynamic, but seat time is seat time no matter what kind of car you're in. So I think just being able to bring some of the techniques over from rally and rally cross and then blend them into the single seater stuff, maybe diversifies the way I'm able to drive a car, and just overall just being in a car, whatever it is, just helps in anything.
And you're not going to worry about your back end being kicked out a little bit when you feel it. You'll have felt
that
before.
That usually happens a lot in rally, I'm not going to lie. You're usually sideways through a corner. If you're sideways through a corner in the F1 Academy, it's probably not a good day for you.
You might make it some good social, though, if you go sideways. But yeah, not what you want.
I can still remember. I think it was Lando Norris who went into the gravel during one test session and said, it's all about finding the limit. I found the limit.
I
know what the limit is now. And the 2024 calendar, you know, Saudi Arabia, Miami, Spain, Singapore, Qatar, Abu Dhabi, a proper mix there of street circuits and purpose-built setups like Spain, of course, a home race for you in Miami, which will be fun. What are your thoughts on the calendar?
I'm really excited about it, honestly. I think that there's a lot of diverse tracks, and there are some very difficult tracks, like going into the first race in Saudi. Like, that's a pretty difficult track as well. So I think it's just going to be really cool to be able to go to all these different places and as well be on the same weekend as an F1 race. Like, that's insane to me, you know? So, but I'm just really excited even just about my home race in Miami. That's going to be really cool to me.
Yeah, this is so special to see this all coming together for you. And of course, the young women we mentioned, the paving the way. Why is this F1 Academy move so important for others like yourself? Maybe those who are daring to dream, perhaps those who have been in karting for a long time and they'd like to move up. What is your role right now doing for others?
Yeah, I hope it's giving girls an opportunity to look at, there is a step in for, if they want to go the single seater row and they've been in karting, there is another step. There is something to look for, because I think before this, it was really hard because they didn't know where to go after karting. They were like, I'm at the time where I want to go to Formula One, but how do I do it? You know? And I think this is a very, very cool step to have for women in motorsports to be able to see a pathway to the top.
And Leah, before this opportunity to race in F1 Academy came about, for you personally as a racing driver, had you considered a sort of career in open wheel racing, sort of on tarmac racing, or had you been focusing down the rally route? Has F1 Academy changed your course a little bit?
Yeah, I think I said in the beginning that I'd only really had opportunities in the off-road world because that's where I grew up with my dad. Getting this opportunity is really cool because I never really thought I'd be here.
You're going to be running on these race tracks at the same time as on F1 weekends, which again, for someone like yourself who's been around lots of different motorsport, that must be cool in itself, going to an F1 Grand Prix. We've talked about that and we did a whole podcast on that, Katie, haven't we? Why it's cool to go to a race, you know, that's cool in itself.
Yeah. And by golly, it is cool, but to go and race in one, that is one that Christian and I will never get to experience.
Sadly.
And
maybe
we will.
I think it's going to be so cool because this race coming up in Saudi, it's going to be my first ever time at an F1 race. So I will not only be racing on an F1 weekend, but it will be my first time in F1 paddock at an F1 race. So it's all, everything at the same time.
It's not going to be a bad weekend, is it?
No.
You had worse weekends than
yes.
that.
It's going to be epic.
It's
going to
be
so cool.
It's going to be epic. And Leah, and I think one of the advantages you bring to the table here in F1 Academy as well is you are used to the notoriety, right? Like your background, from what you've done in racing and the different series you've been a part of, from your family legacy and what that represents, you have a different sense of understanding the calm and the cool and the collected part of a race weekend like this. Can you speak to that yourself and better understanding like why a mindset for you might come a little more naturally on a race weekend than maybe others, and just getting you might adapt a little bit more quickly than others?
Yeah, I mean, I've done Nitro Rallycross this last year. So I think just I've been around big paddocks and lots of people. So I think that half of the race weekend is just preparing, you know, and then being around all the people. I think it just makes it more exciting for me, but I really need to try to calm myself down and be really focused and collected going into the car. So I think having experience from Nitrocross as well as rally is definitely going to help in preparation for the weekend.
Leah, all of us motorsport fans like me and Katie are so excited to have F1 Academy this year. The fact that it's getting bigger and better, and such a big part of that is seeing the excitement on the faces of racing drivers like yourself who are getting this opportunity to go out and race. So we're so excited to see you go out and smash it this year, to see you go out and do it. And we're really looking forward to following your progress. So thank you for coming on to F1 Explained, and good luck. Go and have the best time.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited for this season. So let's see where it goes.
Let's see where it goes. Thanks, Leah.
Of course.
Leah Block there speaking to us at the Williams Racing Factory in the UK. Leah is amazing. I really enjoy spending time with Leah. And Katie, bit of a family connection here, I understand.
Yes, Christian, she is a breath of fresh air. And yeah, there's a little bit of a family tie. The motorsport family here in the States, it gets smaller and smaller in the Block family. They've been around for they've been on the block for a long time, if you will. And
oh, very good. Excellent. And you've been spending too much time broadcasting with me, because that's your first Christian Hugill joke. And I'm not sure that's a compliment, but there it is anyway.
I'll take it. And you know what? It's so amazing to see them, each of the three kids, continue to grow and change. And, you know, for me, I've been fans of the Block family and friends with the Block family since way back when in 2013. So it is so just goosebump worthy to see Leah continue to grow and see the other kids and Lucy continue to shine.
And obviously this is an official Formula One podcast, so we have to be neutral and we have no favourites, but Leah is our favourite. Right, moving on. I'm joking. Producer Chris raising his eyebrows already. I'm joking. Right, Leah is one of several drivers who've been successful in other types of racing, but who are going to be new to F1 Academy. There is also Dorian Pin from France, who scored a podium in the World Endurance Championships. She's going to be supported by Mercedes this season in F1 Academy. Now, her Prema teammate, Maya Wegg, will be in a red Ferrari liveried car. And there's also the USA's Chloe Chambers, who has had wins in sports cars. Haas are supporting her.
Then we've got returning drivers like Bianca Bustamante. Watch out for her in the McLaren liveried car. Emirati sisters Hamda and Amna Al-Kubaisi. They're being supported by Red Bull and RB. Britain's Jess Edgar and Emily De Hoos from the Netherlands.
Now, all of those drivers that we've just mentioned won races in F1 Academy last year. In fact, 9 of the 15 drivers won races in 2023. 11 scored podiums. The racing...
Hold on, Christian, fun fact in all of that.
Oh, yeah.
What a neat stat that you've just mentioned. 9 out of 15 drivers. That's how exciting the racing is as they really break it down.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of double, triple, dip, quadruple... driver wins, which makes the racing really fun.
It was very close. Marta Garcia won race one in Monza by just 9/1000ths of a second. And the title was decided at the final round in Austin.
Marta's prize was a seat in Formula Regional for this year. She's taken the next step in her racing career. But the big question is, who is going to be the next F1 Academy champion?
Well, to follow F1 Academy this year, you'll be able to watch live races on the F1 Academy YouTube channel and on TV. Check out f1academy.com for all the details of that. There'll be race highlights on the F1 Academy YouTube channel as well. You can follow the series on social media, and we will be speaking to stars of the F1 Academy throughout the year here on F1 Explains.
Yeah, so if you have questions about F1 Academy or any other F1 topic, record them as a voice note, write them in an email, and send them to f1explains@f1.com. Again, thanks to Susie and Leah.
And don't forget to subscribe. Me and Katie are here with new episodes every Friday, so click subscribe or follow or like, depending on your podcast platform. But that's it from us. We're back next week. Bye for now.
Goodbye.